Hey friends, well, I am on an extended walk in the town and the countryside where my parents live in Snoqualmie, Washington. And I'm right beside a beautiful highway and a bunch of scenery, but there's a lot of cars coming by, so I'm not sure how much they will figure into this audio. So I want to share the story that I guess I'll call the Frankfurt Surprise, because it happened in Frankfurt and it was definitely a surprise. So no brainer on the title there. So on my trip over last Thursday, I had taken the COVID test and I had scheduled it so that my flights, which would go from Bilbao to Frankfurt to Chicago to Seattle, I needed the COVID test negative, which it came back negative, but it had to be within 48 hours of arriving at the Frankfurt airport, and it had to be within 72 hours of arriving in Chicago. So I had it all planned according to my flights and everything. I was going to get, the tight one was Frankfurt, and so I had it calculated to so that I would arrive in Frankfurt in 46 hours. So I had 2 hours. But I mean, you know, should be fine, no problem. So I got to the Bilbao airport early in the morning, and the plane left late. I didn't have much time for my switch in Frankfurt, so I was a little nervous about that. And when I got there, they looked at the COVID test and said, hey, this is supposed to be in English, and I told them, I half expected that question. I said, I can't get it in English. They don't give them in English where we get them. They're in the little towns that we live in. But anyway, she already had a solution, so apparently I wasn't the first, or it wasn't that critical of an issue. She said, okay, well, I'll get you a special permission and whatnot. And in about 5 minutes, she gave me my 3 boarding passes all the way to Seattle. So I, at that point, I breathed a sigh of relief and I said, whoa, okay, so this will not be as tense as previous flights have been during this COVID era. So I took my, got on the flight, made it to Frankfurt. The pilot made up most of the lost time, and so we landed, and I was moving, but I wasn't in a hurry because the airport was less busy than it had been the previous time that I went through it, and the security, going through security and passport checks and all of that, was not, you know, it wasn't extremely packed. So I saw that I was making fairly good time, and I was going to arrive at my gate in the other terminal within a good period, you know, with time to spare. So I am moving along, going through the terminals, getting to the terminal where my flight, which is a Lufthansa flight, was to leave from. And right before the gate, before the gates, there was another security check, oh, about 100 yards from the actual gates where the plane was, well, the plane was leaving from. And so I get there, and there's a security check with about 3 or 4. I had to wait for quite a while. There was a bunch of us in line, but finally came up to this, it was my time. I came up to this young lady, and she asked for my COVID papers, my COVID document and the test, and then for my passport. And so she looked at it and was, you know, fiddling around with it a little bit. And then she came back and she said, hey, this doesn't match. And I So what do you mean it doesn't match? I looked at it, and she said, the name on here is Andres, and your passport says Andrew. And I said, oh my, I didn't notice that. Well, they spelt it in Spanish. And she said, yeah, I understand that, but it doesn't say Andrew, and it has to say Andrew. I can't let you go if it's not the same. And I said, wow, well, I don't know. Let me look. And so I looked through all my American driver's license, Spanish driver's license, Spanish residency, and everything said Andrew on it. So she said, man, I got to call over a supervisor. So she went and called a supervisor, tall young man. There were about 7 or 8 of them there in these 3 or 4 different booths. which you had to go through to get to the gate. And so she talks with him. He gets his phone. I'm watching him. He's calling. He's looking. He's calling. And finally he comes through the place and meets me, because she had told me to get off to the side and wait. So he comes over and he's bringing the paper. He's bringing my passport. And he's saying, hey, listen, we can't let you through. You don't have the right name on here. And I said, yeah, I know. I realize that. But it's obviously me. They know me by Andres. And so they wrote Andres on there. And I didn't realize it. And he said, yeah, but we can't let that through. They won't let you in the States with this. And he said, can you get another, can you get another document somehow? And I said, we're 20-25 minutes from departure. And I can look, I can see down the terminal. The only flight leaving is my flight, and they're already starting to board. And I'm saying, I can't get another one. It's like a little clinic. You can't even deal with them over the phone. They hardly answer the phone. There's no way. Meanwhile, I've texted Mimi, she's back in Spain, of course, and I texted her and Danny, my son, and I said, they're not letting me get on the plane because the COVID test has my name misspelled. And they're like, what? That's crazy. Well, so Danny, I said, Danny, they said that if I can get another document with the right name on it, that I can, if I can get that, that they would let me through. And so he said, well, send me a picture of your residency and so forth. And so, I didn't hear from Danny, but I knew he was trying to do something. But I have dealt with them over the phone, and it was absolutely ridiculous to think that he would get anybody moving in time to get me a proper document. So here I am standing there. Minutes are going by. The guy is back on the phone. He's talking with his supervisors. And I go to him. I say, hey, is there anything I can do? He says, the only thing you can do is produce some kind of documentation, that some kind of official ID. And I had already looked. Finally, I came up with an insurance card. And I showed it to him. And it said Andres on it. And he looked at it. He said, no. I said, man, that's not a... That he didn't know if that was the same thing as the clinic where I'd gone to the COVID, and I said, no, that's something else. And he said, that's not going to work. And he said, we can't let you through. They won't let you in the States, And I'm thinking, good night. And there's this young fella there, a shorter guy, and he was friendly. And he said, man, is there any way you can call that? I said, I can't call from here. They don't even take me when I call from the house. I mean, I get on these long, waiting things, and then I lose the call, and I can't get the nurse anyway, and I just had a horrible experience, even just getting my test and everything. And I said, yeah, there's absolutely no way. I said, I've told my son, but what can he do? He's not going to get any further than I am. Well, the minutes are ticking by, and I can see them boarding, and there's not many people. Everybody has gone through the security. They're shutting down the security, and this guy tells me, this younger, shorter guy says, well, he said, this must be your destiny. He said, you believe in destiny? And I said, not that way. He said, well, I said, what can I do? And so the tall guy says, listen, we can't let you through. You're going to have to go back into the main terminal, find the head, the desk for Lufthansa, talk with them and see what they can do for you. And I said, even if they've booked me on another flight, my COVID test is out because it's only good for 2 more hours. And then I'd have to take another COVID test. If I could get the flight the next day, because there are hardly any flights, I'm thinking, and then all of a sudden this guy told me about this. This is your destiny, is the way he said it. And I said, no, I don't believe it that way. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, and it just sort of hit me. You know what? I'm not getting on that plane. I don't know why, but the Lord is in charge here, and there's absolutely nothing I can do. And so I just quit trying at that point, because literally they were finishing the boarding. It appeared there weren't that many people left. And he said, that's all you can do. I can't let you through. This is the tall guy. Meanwhile, the shorter guy is trying to encourage me and that maybe they'll give me some kind of solution. And so at that point, I picked up my bag and my hand luggage, and I just started walking back to the terminal. There was absolutely no reason to be in a hurry. The plane was leaving. I was stuck. And I was no longer frustrated as I had been and, you know, like incredulous, but because there was nothing I could do. So I start walking, and I walked about 5 minutes. So, you know, 100, 150 yards. These are these long alleys, you know, that you're probably used to if you've flown or gotten to some of these large airports. And I'm texting Mimi. I'm going back. I said, I don't know. I guess I'm stuck here in Frankfurt for a day. I'm going to have to maybe buy more tickets, spend the night in the hotel, get another COVID test. I don't know. What can I say? You know, and so I guess I'm texting with Mimi, and all of a sudden something pops up with Danny on WhatsApp, and I look, and he sends me a picture that he just took of a document that is my document, but it has my name, Andrew, on it, up in the right-hand corner. And he said, see if this will do for now. I'll get you the PDF as soon as I get home. And so it dawned on me, Danny had gotten in the car and he had raced to the clinic. We're talking, it's 15 minutes down the road. And anyway, he had gone down there and he had gotten the document. They wouldn't send it. PDF. I mean, I'm telling you, the clinic is a special place. And so he had to get back home to scan it and send it to me, but he could send me a picture of it. So I turned around, got my, you know, picked up my carry-on at that point and my big satchel, and I ran all the way back to the security point, which was about 150 yards, which isn't that much, but I was out of breath. My mouth was so dry, I couldn't talk to them. All I could do was show them my phone. Oh, there was only two people there. They were cleaning the glass. They were shutting down. Most of the staff had left, and the security point had no reason for existence anymore because the plane was, all the passengers were through. There were no other planes. And I'm showing him up in the corner. It said Andrew. And they said, the supervisors are gone. They've already left. And I said, can't you get them to come back somehow? I said, otherwise, I'm not going to be able to, I don't know what I'm going to do. And somehow they called the supervisor. The tall guy came back from wherever they had left, gone, and he and this young fella, the one that had been encouraging me, were talking. I showed it to him, and he said, that's just a picture, you know. that's not valid. And I said, they're going to send me the PDF, but my son is getting home, and he's going to scan it. He's going to send it to me. By that time, the plane's gone. And so the two guys were talking off to the side, and all of a sudden they came to me. The guy gave me my phone or the papers. I can't even remember exactly the details how it went. And he said, go through. He said, go through, but this is not legal. And so I said, thank you. And I started walking. There were still several people in line. I don't know why it had, maybe it, you know, seemed like an hour and it was just a minute. I don't know. But he said, no problem, you're going to make it, because there was nobody else, and there were still a few people waiting to board. Maybe there were standbyers or something. I don't know. And so this other younger fella came with me and walked with me for a little ways. I'm sort of half running. And he said, listen, he said, this thing could be Photoshopped. This is not valid. But he said, if you will have a PDF of that form when you land in Chicago, then you'll be okay. And he said, the only reason he's letting you through is because I put my name on the line. And I said, put it on me to get this guy through. And I said, thank you. I said, this is incredible. I don't even know what to say. What is your name? And he said, well, he said, I have a bad name. That's what he said. I have a bad name. But I said, what is your name? And he said, "I'm Osama." I don't know if it was Osama or Usama. And I said, "Thank you so much. Thank you so much for helping me get through this." If I'd have known that I had an extra minute or two and that I would actually stand for a minute or two at the gate, I would have gotten his email, or I would have gotten his phone number. I would have gotten something, because I didn't have anything to give him. I didn't have one of my books with me right there, one of my evangelistic books. And so I had to leave it like that. And I went, got on the plane. I wrote a note immediately to Lufthansa, explaining where I was, what flight, what day, and this guy, his name. And I said, "First of all, the highest compliment to this young fella that you can give him, you know, from a passenger, a grateful passenger." I said, "But if there's any possible way I can contact him, I want to thank him personally." Well, I haven't heard back from him. But so I got to thinking, you know, the Lord had two things. The Lord's grace came and through two things got me through in the nick of time. One was Danny, who got on the ball and just, he didn't even try to call, I don't think. He just screamed down the road to the main towns, to the clinic, and was able to get that. And this angel in disguise, who probably doesn't know the Lord, and who I've been praying, and some of you friends of mine have been praying for him as well. I don't know if I'll ever see him again, but he was an instrument in the Lord's hands to get me out of an incredibly tight moment. And so as I was thinking about it, you know, I thought, I have no idea why it happened. None. God's surprises are not always pleasant. They just aren't. Many of them are. I would say most of them are in my life, but some of them are not. And this one was not. But he sometimes solves situations in the very last minute to increase our faith in him that he is able to do whatever he wants. And I was thinking through the Bible. I thought of Jehoshaphat, who went into that battle with Ahab, stupidly dressed as a king, and the archers were going to wipe him out, and God in the last moment had them realize that he wasn't the one they were after, and they turned away from him because he cried out to God, you know. And in the nick of time, God saved them. The three Hebrews thrown into the fiery furnace, they did not know until the very last second, and the guards were dying around them, that they weren't going to be affected. And Daniel, a couple of chapters later, in the lion's den, I don't think he knew until he got to the bottom of the den that the lions had no interest in, you know, sinking their teeth into that prophet. And then we think of David, who is sometimes within minutes of being captured and killed by Saul, and God would bring in a word about the Philistines or something, and Saul would have to abort his mission. And in the nick of time, David was saved by the Lord, you know. And then I think of Peter in prison. There, I think it's in Acts 12, you know, and Herod's put him in the prison, is going to kill him the next day in front of the Jews to gain some popularity. And right that very night, right before he is going to be killed, the angel of the Lord comes and gets him out of jail. And so the Lord does that. Not always, but he does it sometimes to encourage us. And so I thought about Romans 8:28, you know, the classic verse that I don't know how it goes in English at this moment, but those who love the Lord, all things work together for the good of those who love God, you know. And one thing it does not say, it says we know that that is true. But one thing we do not know is how it's true. We often do not know how this crazy thing that happened is going to work out for our good. We know it will because of the promise. But God does not promise to let us know how his wisdom works and how exactly these things tie in. So anyway, it was quite an experience. And if you've listened this far, well, pray for my friend Usama, if you would, that God would touch his heart, that he would look to God. And maybe in some possible way I might be able to contact him and get him the gospel. So praising the Lord that I didn't have to put out a fortune and lose time and all that in that odd situation there in Frankfurt. God bless you. Goodbye. Oh, and by the way, I landed in Chicago. I had the PDF on my phone, and no one ever asked me anything about COVID or the test or what kind of test or when I'd taken it. Zero. So much for all that scare.